Hello all, I'm Ignacio Ayala, the lead analyst for data and insights here at Silverline, and welcome to What Just Happened, a short format podcast where I ask my colleagues to quickly explain recent geopolitical incidents, their relevant background, and key issues to watch. Today, we will be discussing the resignation of Haiti's acting prime minister, Ariel Henry, amid violent clashes and chaos in Port-au-Prince, with Sydney Stewart, our lead analyst at the Americas desk in Silverline. Hello, Sydney. Thanks for joining us today.
Hi, Ignacio. Pleasure to be with you.
So, Sydney, tell us, what just happened?
So, on the 11th of March, Prime Minister Ariel Henry officially announced his resignation. This follows a week of severe violence in the capital of Port-au-Prince. The resignation is effective once a presidential transition council is implemented, and this council will be empowered with presidential authority via a majority vote. And this will pave the way for elections, the first of which Haiti will have since 2016.
Thank you, Sydney. And that resignation follows weeks of chaos in the capital, mainly. Can you give us some background into why that violence ensued?
Sure. So on the 3rd of March, there were two prison breaks in the region of the capital of Port-au-Prince. Thousands of gang members were subsequently released from those prisons following the breaks, and these former gang members rejoined the active gangs which control the capital. The UN has estimated that 80% or more of the territory of Port-au-Prince is under gang control. And there was also a major looting incident at the international port last week, which resulted in the looting of critical goods, including humanitarian aid.
So it seems to be the case that the gangs are actively pushing back against the acting prime minister, Ariel Henry. Can you give us some background into why are these gangs trying to basically plan a coup?
So Ariel Henry has been acting prime minister, and there is a lot of consternation among the Haitian population about the postponement of elections. So he recently announced that the general election would follow in 2025. This sparked several weeks ago a wave of anti-government protests in the capital and was basically a precursor to this gang violence.
Interesting. Definitely one of the interesting dynamics of Haiti is the politicization of gangs, right? This role that active gang leaders have on public politics. Who have been the main leaders of this gang movement in Haiti?
So the famous Jimmy Barbecue Cherizier is the leader of the G9 gang coalition, which is, as the name suggests, a coalition of several gangs that have basically come together in a sort of loose alliance, or rather an alignment of interest against the government. Another key individual in the unfolding conflict is a former police officer, Guy Philippe, who actually led the 2004 coup that ousted Haiti's first elected, democratically elected president.
And something else that appears to be particularly relevant as background for this discussion is that in 2021, Jovenel Moïse was killed by a commando of trained individuals. It appears to be the case that there was some involvement of not only gang leaders, but also politicians in that plot. What appears to show then that there are significant links between the gangs and the political leaders and the political parties. Can you give us some background into that?
Yes, absolutely. So earlier in February, a judge concluded that in the investigation into the 2021 assassination of President Moïse, indicated that his widow and also the ex-prime minister, Claude Joseph, as well as the former chief of Haiti's national police, were indeed involved in the assassination plot. So this definitely, you know, lends a lot of credence to suspicions that the organized gangs are heavily involved in the political situation in Haiti.
And what are the international efforts to bring some stability and some peace to Haiti's population?
So if we go back to the initial outbreak of major violence last week, Henry was actually out of the country. He had been on a visit to Kenya to secure support from the Kenyan Prime Minister, William Ruto, to deploy a multinational security support mission to Haiti, which was indeed authorized by the UN Security Council in a vote last autumn. And so as the violence unfolded, actually, the prime minister was out of the country. Given this, there were efforts behind the scenes. There were talks between Henry, who ultimately surfaced in Puerto Rico, where he remains at this moment. The U.S. government and CARICOM, the Caribbean community, have been in discussions in the background with Henry, working to basically encourage his resignation, given the lack of legitimacy and major government stability risks, in order to pave the way for a transitional government with the expectation that that government is in place to ensure that there will be democratic elections imminently.
What is your assessment in terms of the outlook of the mission? Do you think the mission is going to be approved, is going to be implemented? Are there going to be significant efforts to actually bring some stability to Port-au-Prince?
So as it stands now, there is substantial uncertainty over the timeline and even possible eventuality of a deployment of the MSS. On 12th March, so yesterday as we're recording this, the Kenyan government announced that its plans to deploy an MSS mission to Haiti have been put on hold due to what they have characterized as a complete breakdown of law and order. They said that the force will now only be deployed once a new Haitian government is established. Obviously, the timeline for this, the establishment of a new government in Haiti, is itself uncertain. So as it stands, it looks like there's going to be a continuation of effectively gang control, gang territorial control in Port-au-Prince, certainly, throughout the timeline of the instatement of the possible transitional government and through to the time at which there are new elections. So without any kind of international support mission to prop up the Haitian National Police, it's likely that the control of gangs is not going to be curtailed in the short to medium term. Something that we're watching very closely is the possibility that basically this loose coalition of gangs will actually begin to disintegrate, and that we'll see rising factionalism among the gangs that actually could precipitate further violence in Port-au-Prince.
That's interesting. And lastly, I want to discuss the most important topic of what's going on, which is the humanitarian catastrophe that has ensued this chaos. Not only after the killing of Jovenel Moïse, there was significant violence in the street, but there was a very significant, if I'm not wrong, a 7.2 earthquake, which led to the death of thousands of people and also affected the infrastructure for Haiti to receive humanitarian assistance. What's the situation on the ground for the civilians, for the people who are not responsible for this violence?
The humanitarian situation in Haiti remains acute. Obviously, this is a country that has seen just a wave of subsequent humanitarian crises, indeed precipitated by the earthquake and disease outbreaks in the country in recent years. So as it stands, the UN Food Agency estimates that 4 million people out of Haiti's population of 11 million residents are facing an acute food insecurity. So far, gangs control the outflow of goods from the port of Port-au-Prince and have historically taken essentially a cut of the import of those goods. Actually, last week, there was a major looting incident at the international port, and it's very likely that a lot of the humanitarian assistance and food aid is going to be now taken onto the black market. Effectively, the dynamic that this creates is an incredibly insecure environment for Haitian citizens and a dynamic in which the gangs effectively control the population.
Thank you, Sydney, for joining us today.
Absolutely. It's been a pleasure.
We will keep on covering the situation, and we hope that this dire situation for millions of Haitians gets resolved as soon as possible. Not only the violence, but the humanitarian crisis around it remains very worrisome. Thank you for listening to Civil Lines What Just Happened. If you want to check out our content or follow us on social media, make sure to click the links on the show note captions. See you in the next one.